let's begin. We're up to Perek Lamed Gimel. We are in the middle of a new topic. This topic is very relevant. It's very relevant for us. Especially Bizman has said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us Eretz Yisrael. He has given us a renewal on Eretz Yisrael after almost 2,000 years. It's Biyadeinu. The whole land is in our hands. The state of Israel is ours. We have sovereignty. Klal Yisrael has minted their own coins. You know, the real sign, they said, the real sign of sovereignty is if you mint your own currency, if you have your own currency. For 2,000 years, even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they did not have their own, they did not mint their own coins.
Abraham
made a coin, Yaakov made a coin, but the only exception was Bar Kokhba. In the time Bar Kokhba, that was like the big thing, that Bar Kokhba, he minted, this is after the Churban, he minted his own currency. We see those famous coins, those images of those Machsa Shekel. But during the time of the Bayis Sheni itself, I think towards the end of the Bayis Sheni, if I'm not mistaken, that's from the Torah. That goes back from the time of the Torah, the time of the Bayis Sheni.
These coins had real value. They were silver, gold.
They were silver. Yeah, they were silver. Yes, yes.
Today, would they represent the
right, price. Right. Today it's right. Even in America, they until not that long ago, they were real. The real silver. It's not pure silver. It's not pure silver. It's an alloy, but you're right. What exactly it means, silver, gold? But if I'm not mistaken, I think even the entire tekufa, am I correct? Anyone know the entire tekufa of the Bayis Sheni? I'm not even sure if they had their own, they minted their own coins. Because they were... What? Yeah. Ask him.
I know he had Bar Kokhba, but he had
Bar Kokhba, that was a very unique exception. But the Bayis Sheni... The Bayis Rishon for sure. Bayis Rishon, that's a double posh. They have their own coins. They have them in museums. They have in the museums coins they found from the Bayis Rishon. Okay, by the different kings. But from the time of the Bayis Sheni, Bayis Sheni, the coins were minted by the other governments because Yerushalayim did not have sovereignty during the time of the Bayis Sheni, with a rare period of time towards the end. There was a short period of time they did have sovereignty. I'm not even sure at that point in time they minted their own coins. The notable exception was the Bar Kokhba rebellion. He minted his own coins, but that did not last very long. That was just for a very, very short time. And then for the next 2,000 years almost, the Jewish people did not have their own currency until the establishment of the State of Israel. So this is something that is very significant when you have your own coin. So here, this very much relates with the message over here, the Musar that Yechezkel here is giving. We're in the middle of some very interesting midrashim. So let's start with, let's just review the Pesukim again. I think we did the Mitzudos, maybe not. Let's review the entire thing again. Starting with... Pasuk, after the Pollet comes, right? The Pollet already has arrived. Okay, after Pollet, we're going to start with Pasuk Chav Gimel. Now, see, as I'm recalling, before we even do Pasuk Chav Gimel, I wanted to read and start with you an amazing Malbim. The Malbim puts Yechezkel and Yirmiyah in perspective. Until I saw this Malbim, I always thought that Yechezkel and Yirmiyah were contemporaries. They lived the same time. Did they see each other? I don't know. Did they ever see each other? Who knows?
They skyped,
maybe. Okay, but they lived at the same point in time. Yirmiyah was in Yerushalayim with the Goyim, and Yechezkel was in. Yirmiyah was in Yerushalayim with the people living in Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban, and Yechezkel was living in Bavel together with the people who has gone into Golis. He went to Golis. We're living with Yehoniah. Yehoyachin. He went into Golis with the second group of exiles. The first group went into exile in the fourth year of Yehoyachin. And then 7 years later, there was the second exile of Yehoyachin, and that is when Yechezkel went to Babel. Yirmiyah was there from beginning to end. Lachardis, they knew each other. It has to be since Yechezkel first went into Golis. He went into Golis 7 years after the galus of Yehoyakim, and Yirmiyah was there at those 7 years, and Yechezkel was there during those 7 years. So certainly it must be that at least they knew of each other. It can't be they didn't see each other. It's just that Yechezkel went into galus time of Yehoyakim, and he stayed there in galus. Yirmiyah remained in Yerushalayim. He went for a short period of time. He did go with the people. He did escort them partially to Babel. I don't think Yirmiyah ever went to Babel. Yirmiyah never made it down to Babel. Yirmiyah went part of the way, but then he went back. He went back to the people of Yerushalayim, and then in fact it's not clear what happened to him. It's not clear after the Churban, he went back to Yerushalayim, he was with the people who went to Mitzrayim, and then somehow, if not mistaken, he just disappeared. And we don't really know what happened to him. We don't really know where he wound up. Any event, these are contemporaries. I always thought that Yirmiyah is giving Musar in Yerushalayim and Yechezkel is giving Musar in Babel. The Radak over the Malbim over here, let's look at the Malbim word inside. It's in Pasuk Chof Beis. I have in my edition, it says Chof Aleph, Chof Beis, Bo Elai HaPolit. You jump down to, I would say, halfway through what it says in this Pasuk, before Pasuk, and I have a different edition, I don't know exactly on the page where it is by you, but where it says, Ad Shebo HaPolit. Okay, I'm jumping down like halfway through this very long Malbim. The words are Ad Shebo HaPolit, the Achar Shebo HaPolit, Nishar Piv Pasuach, Ritzon Eloimar. Do you see that in your edition?
No.
No? Let me look then. Give me 1 second. Let me find it.
Okay, let me just...
Okay, give me one more. Let me find it. Let me...
That part?
Wait. Let me find it exactly. Give me one moment. Make it easier instead of guessing. Let me Lamed Gimel Pasuk Chaf Gimel.
It's page 2.
Chaf Gimel? Okay. Hoyed Varlai. So we're doing this right before Chaf Dalet. Okay, so I think let's...
The
very top, just the top of the column. Okay, the top of the column. Pasuach. Okay, the top on the left side. Page Tof Chof Gimel, in your edition. In the Malbim, Mari Yecheskel, in the left column. There are two columns. The left column, you see the top word is Pasuach? Okay, so that's where we're going to start from. Rotzo Loimar, Ki Yecheskel lo nisyache linabe al churban. Yecheskel, it was not his role. It was not his role to be misnabe on the Churban. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him to do, to go and to predict that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. Sha'al zeh nisyachet Yirmiyah. The role of predicting the Churban Beis HaMikdash was purely given to Yirmiyah, lihinaveh b'Yerushalayim, to prophesize in Yerushalayim. Shesham hoyadayin takana b'tshuva. Those living in Yerushalayim still had hope. They could do teshuvah, and by doing teshuvah, they could prevent the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Imhoy. And what exactly was the chait? This is something that we repeated many, many times. The chait was the king Tzidkiyah refused to surrender. If he would have listened to the advice of Yirmiyah and surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar, the Beis HaMikdash would not have been destroyed. The Imhoy Tzidkiyah Shomea Lekoiloi, to the voice of Yirmiyah, the Yoytzei El Nebuchadnezzar, Lo Hoye Machir Vesuir. The Beis HaMikdash and the city would not have been destroyed. It would have been a very different world. The world today would be very, very different. Avol, but he did not listen. Tzidkiyah refused to listen. That's why Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Yerushalayim and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, killed many people, and exiled the survivors. Avol, the Golas Bavel, the location where Yechezkel was present, Lo Hoya Hadavar Toluy, then this tshuva is not, that's not the role. The people there, they're not the ones, if they're going to do teshuva, it's not going to make a difference. They are not in a position where their tshuva and ma'asim tovim will prevent the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Adarabba, Bolochem Atziva miYirmiyah, the people who are living in Babel, they also had a command from Yirmiyah, they should settle and live there, and settle and live there for prepare for the long haul. Adarabba, Bohem Bolochem Atziva miYirmiyah, sheyalidu sham banim banos, they should have children, settle there. Ki Yeshu Begolos Shemshon, they're going to live there for 70 years. The Hoya Pia Navi Nelam Shama. And therefore Yecheskel was Nelam. Yecheskel occasionally the whole Sefer learning over 33 Parakim, he gave them a lot of Musar, but all of the Musar was all from Hashem. He was Hashem's mouthpiece. He did not give his own private, he did not speak for his own private ideas, because that's not his role. The change of the direction of Klal Yisrael depended upon Yirmiyah. Now here's the words: Rak achar shenechrav habayis. Only after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Oz nitan reshus licheskel lenabos. Now is when he begins his role. First begins his main role. First begins after it is revealed that the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed. Ki nishlam. Now here are these words: Ki nishlam shlichus Yirmiyah. At this moment in time, the Yirmiyah's nevuah has come to an end. Umei oz niftach piv lenabos elaklal velo nelam od. And now is when his mouth is open, his nevuah begins. Uveshagam ki arato lo heminu adayin v'hoyu b'neiem nevi shekar. Until this point in time, they did not believe in Yirmiyah, the Yecheskel, they did not believe in things that he said because the b'nei nevi shekar, shenibu b'shamilish lo yechrav. But now that the polit has arrived, and it's been revealed that the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed on the exact calendar date that Yecheskel predicted, no longer was his mouth closed. Now he had open rein to give Musar to speak his mind, to say whatever he wants.
So they weren't giving Nevuah at the same time?
So they were giving Nevuah, but he was not the main Navi. Yecheskel and Yirmiyah, this is the yesoid of what exactly their role. The main idea, the Malvim says, this is extremely fundamental to learning Navi. Yecheskel and Yirmiyah lived at the same time. Maybe they were even the same age. We don't know. They lived at the same time. Yirmiyah was in Yerushalayim. Yecheskel was in Bavel. And they were saying prophecies at the same time as well. However, Yecheskel was a minor player. He was in the minors. He wasn't a professional yet. He was just, everything that he said until then was just coming to establish his credentials. He was in training. He was repeating, but not as the Navi Hadar. Like you have the Gadol Hadar. He was not the Navi Hadar. We have many prophecies, but all of these prophecies were just things which, the Hashem's mouthpiece. He did not speak his own mind. And even what he was saying was not, he was not saying things that those words that came out of his mouth from Hashem would make a difference as far as the destiny of Klal Yisrael. The one that was leading the pack was Yirmiyah. And Yirmiyah, the moment when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the report reached Bavel 5 months later on the fifth day of Teves, that's the moment when Yirmiyah retired. Yirmiyah was retired. He became a manager, an administrative position, a desk job. No more in the field. No more. Now the role of Navi, the Navi of the generation, has shifted from Yirmiyah to Yecheskel. Because Yirmiyah's goal was to prevent the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yirmiyah failed. Okay, pretty much he failed. It happened. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
Secondly, yeah. There was not too many people
who could tell
the
story. Well, they were survivors. So those are the ones in Yerushalayim. They went to. They didn't listen to them again. They went to. That already happened. That might have already happened at this point in time. They went to Mitzrayim. But in a Hanami, but it doesn't. He was just secondary. The role of the Navi now, which is going to be the central figure in Klal Yisrael, is now shifted to Yecheskel. So it's not like I thought, at least according to the Malbim, that they're contemporaries. Each one has their domain. Okay, I have my territory. You got your territory. We're saying prophecy at the same time. We're both equal in stature. Our role is the same. No, your role is not the same. You're establishing yourself, but the one that's going to lead, the ones whose words make a difference until now is Yirmiyah, and with the Churban and the revelation that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, there's a shift. Now he's over, and you first begin.
The focus also shifted.
Okay, the focus also shifted where they're settling, where they're living. Okay, so this is who were their teachers? I don't know. Seemingly they did, right? There's always a tradition. Everything is b'mesorah, especially in the time of Chazal. There were no art school gemaras in those days. So where did you pick up your knowledge from? From your teacher. And the Navi also certainly needs a Rebbe to teach you, to guide you in the Nevuah. So obviously he did. What are their names? Maybe there's some Medrash. I don't know. They're not mentioned. Like you do.
Having the Nevuah is a supernatural thing. Like,
yes.
Looked at it as a supernatural thing?
Well, not everyone believed you. They were strange. These were strange people, and they're saying things that are very unpopular. People don't want to believe it. Also, here's the point. When Yirmiyah, 5 months ago, Yirmiyah told them that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. They're laughing at him. What are you talking about? Beis HaMikdash is beautiful. Everything is wonderful there. Nonsense. 5 months later, the Pulit arrives and says, you know what happened 5 months ago on this day and this time? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. They're in shock. They all go look at Yecheskel. Yecheskel, how did you know that? How could it be? Well, there were no cell phones. There were no video hookups, live video hookups.
A homing pigeon?
Even that, it didn't work like that. So now they first believe retroactively in Achanami, this man is a holy man. Everything he says is from Hashem. Okay, so this Malbim is fundamental. It's really a Yisraelistic Malbim to explain. We learn Navi, Yerim Yecheskel, to understand who they were at the time they lived, and their relationship. When the relationship came to an end, the other one was activated. Okay, now we go to the next theme. The next sugya is the palit. Okay, so let's just review the psukim again. The pasuk again is pasuk chaf gimel. Vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemar. Again, it's perak lamed gimel pasuk chaf gimel. Vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemar ben adam yoshvei hecharav yisraela. The people, we're addressing the survivors. Yerushalayim has been destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. There is a she'eris ha'pleita. There's a small group of survivors still living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, those people, it could be already they were under the leadership of Gedaliah. Gedaliah was assassinated. They fled to Egypt. For 52 years, there was no one living in the land, period. But there were survivors still. Okay, there were survivors. Maybe the survivors referred to those living in Babel. Maybe the survivors referred to those living in Egypt. Or maybe we learned also there were some people scattered around in the other surrounding areas. So Hashem says, these survivors are very optimistic. Okay, that's a very interesting idea because today, to find people who are optimistic, it's not so easy to find people who are optimistic. But Hashem is acknowledging that the survivors are optimistic and that they're saying to themselves, it's just a matter of time until we take back the land, until we reconquer the land and we reestablish ourselves in the land. Why? Because we're in a much better position today, even though it's after the Churban, than our forefather Avraham was. Avraham was one person. He had no children for most of his life. And then he had a child, and that child, he almost died. He almost offered him as a korban. So, and Avraham, despite all of his shortcomings, was able to inherit the land. So us, we number in the thousands, the survivors all over the world, and we have a history of owning this land. And we have a relationship with Hashem, and we're going to see, according to some of Farshim, this is very, very critical, we also have a relationship with other gods. Avodah Zarah. Okay, so this was a very big mistake to say such a thing. But certainly, we're in a much better position today than our forefather was years ago. So certainly, we have nothing to worry about. The future of the Jewish people is secure. It's going to be our land. So that is what the people are saying to themselves. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, you're making a big mistake. just because you think that you're a much better position today than you were years ago, it doesn't make a difference your numbers, it doesn't make a difference your wealth, your military, your power. The only thing that makes a difference is serving Hashem, doing Torah, observing the Torah and the mitzvos. That's the only thing that makes a difference. And if you're going to continue down this path of doing averos, then it's meaningless. You're going to have absolutely nothing. Everything will come to a complete end. There will indeed be no hope. So don't be so optimistic. That's really the message here of this entire section until the end of the parak. Pasuk of Dalet, Ben Adam, Hashem says to Yecheskel, Yoshveh, let me give you a message concerning the people, Yoshveh Hecharavos Ha'ele, the people who are still living in the destroyed city. Yerushalayim has been destroyed, it's still in flames, there's smoke all over the place, and there are people that are still living in the Hecharavos. What?
The ruins.
Those are living in the ruins, so Eileh, Al Admas Yisrael, on the land of the Jewish people, on the land of Israel, Oymrim Lamar. They're very optimistic. What do they say? They say as follows: Echod Hoya Avraham. Avraham was only one man. He was one man, he was all alone, he had nothing, he didn't have any weapons, he didn't have any wealth, he didn't have anything for himself to show for himself. Yet, Vayirash Es Haaretz, he inherited the land. We're in a much better position today, despite the fact that the Mikdash has just been destroyed and we've been defeated. V'anachnu rabim. Memeilo, there's nothing to worry about. Lanu nidn ha'aretz l'marasha. To us, the land has been given as an inheritance. So it's just a matter of time until we can lobby the United Nations to allow the establishment of the State of Israel, and we will enact the law of return, and we will take possession of the land. Big deal. What's the problem? Let's be optimistic. Hashem says, Hashem says to Yechezkel, go to these optimistic people and tell them, Lochein emor aleihem ko yomar Hashem Elokim. Are you out of your mind? Just because you're in a much better position than Avraham Avinu, if you continue to go down this path of violating the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, now it doesn't say exactly all seven, but it says most of them, Al Hadam. Techelu, you're going to continue to eat Avim and Achai. Why this is listed as one of the most significant things is beyond me. Al Adam Techelu, you're going to eat an animal when the blood is still flowing in its body. Avim and Achai. Ve'enechem tisu el gilu lechem. And you lift up your eyes to idols. Ve'dam tishbaychu, you're guilty of murder. Ve'aretz tirashu, are you out of your mind? You think that you're going to possess the land, you're going to make a comeback. You're going to have security in the land because you're in a better situation than your forefather Avram. Amadetem al charbechem. You stand with your sword and you commit murder. Okay, this is a repetition of what it said before. Asisem to'eva. You commit the worst abominations, which the old Mepharshim explained to mean as Mishkaf Zohar. The Ish, Esh Esra'eu Timesem. And you commit adultery. And the Haaretz Tirashu, and you think just because you can lobby against the United Nations and you can, you're wealthy and you have power and you have weapons, and you're going to repossess the land? It's nonsense. Pasuk of Zion. Koy Samar Aleihem. I warned you, Yechezkel, go tell them as follows. Koy Amar Hashem Elokim. Chai Ani, I swear. Imloy. Again, I swear. Double shul. The word Chai Ani means I swear, and the word Imlo is a fancy way of saying I swear again. I'm going to make now a double shavua. By my life, I swear, Asher Becharavois, those survivors that are living in the ruins, they're going to die. They're not going to succeed in rebuilding, re-establishing the state, re-establishing the land. Asher Becharavois, Becherev Yipoilu, they will fall by the sword. The Asher and the people that are living out in the fields away from Yerushalayim, out in the suburbs or in other lands, the Asher al pnei hasadeh lachaya nisativ liachlo, they'll be eaten up by wild animals. The Asher bamitzados, those that are in the fortresses. Some people were fortunate to buy for themselves some luxury bunkers. Uvim oros, those in the caves. There's a whole cottage industry out there today. You know that? Go online. You can buy five-star bunker. Okay, you're waiting for the apocalypse. To know where to go inside, you have to have everything ready for you. Exactly, it's a big industry today. Survival kits. I used to work for someone, did a project once to sell survival kits. It's amazing. People are really into this stuff. People want to buy and have in their home a survival kit. Food that doesn't perish, water, all different types of first aid things, you know, some generators. People are really frightened about the end. Oros in the caves, but Dever Yomusu, they will die by a plague. And when this day comes, the land will be desolate. The nishbas ge'oin uza, and it will cease, come to an end. The ge'oin uza, its exalted pride. The shamamu hare Yisrael, and the mountains will become desolate. Me'ein oiver, there will be no one will live there. V'yadu ki ani Hashem. When that happens, you will know that I am Hashem. The city esaretz shemama u'mishama. When I set the land to become utterly desolate, two words which mean the same thing, repetition is to emphasize the utter desolation. Al, because I'm telling you why, called to have a sum, also due to all of the abominations that they have committed. So this is a very powerful message. As I told you, it's extremely relevant for us today. We have Hashem has given us back, like we are the survivors, and Hashem is giving us back the land, and we claim it's our land, and indeed it is our land. But Hashem says, and we're in a much better position than Avraham Avinu was, no question about it. Okay, the number is there are 15 million Jews today. Avraham only was one Jew. He was only one Jew. And we're 15 million strong. And Jewish people, they, to some degree, the world says...
Did Avraham Avinu actually control the land at the time he was there?
No, he had nothing, zero. Avraham Avinu was persecuted. And look what happened. Avraham Avinu was only one person, and what happened? He succeeded, not immediately, but his descendants took over. So us, who's 15 million strong, and we have a history, we have a legacy, we have a history, we have everything going for us, so certainly we'll be able to take back the whole state of the whole land of Eretz Yisrael and take possession and develop the land and be safe and secure in the land. And Hashem says, you're making a big mistake. Don't compare yourself to Avraham Avinu, because there's a big difference. Avraham Avinu was a maimon. He was the believer. You're not believers. You're guilty of the worst type of averos. And in my book, Hashem says, that's the only thing that counts. And if you're not going to get with the program, then don't have any expectation that the land is everything's going to fall into place. Yeah.
Say the
various
listed over here.
You say
that those are the various
Bais
Rishon.
Yes.
Right, but we're talking about the destruction of which
Bais Rishon. Avodah Zarah, Gilyarayah, Shvi Chastamim. And here it lists also Eve Menachai and Mishkav Zohar. And what else would we say over here? To'eva, yeah. Mishkav Zohar is separate from Gilyarayah. Gilyarayah is Eshes Ish. It's Eshes Ish. That's primarily the Gilei Arayis, Mishkav Zohar. Okay, what else? Those are the main Averos. Oh, Dinim. Yeah. That's what I left it out. Dinim. It says it over here also. That one. Which one is that? One of the expressions here alludes to Dinim. We'll see in the Mitzudos and the Radak in a moment.
Mishkav Zohar separate.
Yes, To'eva. Well, in this pasuk it says yes. Asisem To'eva. And then it says the ish es eshes re'ayut meisem. So we count these as two separate things. Okay. Let's see over here what it says over here in the all these sukkim together in the Mitzudos David. Okay. Well, one thing at a time is a very important medrash. A Gemara. We'll see one thing at a time. Starting with pasuk Chav Gimel in the Mitzudos David. There is no Chav Gimel, Chav Dalid, Yoshvei Hecharavoy, So'ela, Hashem is giving a message regarding the people that are living in the ruins. The Choyzer Umafarish, which ruins? Al Admas Yisrael on the Holy Land. The Yoimar, Hashem over here, Yoimar, Al Mesei Ma'at HaNeshonim Be'eretz Achar Chuban. This message is directed relating to the few survivors of the Churban. And what do they say to themselves? They say, we're in a much better position today than our forefather Avraham. He was only one. Echod hoya Avraham. Haloi. Avraham hoya yechidi. He was a one man. Imkol zed. Nevertheless, nidna lo eretz Yisrael l'marasha. He succeeded in conquering and in taking possession of the entire land. His descendants inherited the entire land. Va'anachnu ha'neshodim po. We are survivors. We're many more than him. He was only one. We're thousands, whatever the number was. The Cholaretz Nidlanu L'Marasha, Ki Hashvu Ha'oil, they thought, V'Nish'aru Ba, since Nevuchadnezzar did allow them to remain in the land, Yirshu Es Aretz, Limshal Ba, Kumeyos. So it's just a matter of time until we reestablish ourselves, until we populate the land, and we take it back fully. U'Chi'ilu Yarmu, so therefore they're very, very optimistic. The Churban Bayis happens, an amazing insight. When we think about the Churban, I never thought like this. When I think about the Churban Bayis Rishon, I always think that people are as depressed as can possibly be. There are not enough medications in all the pharmaceutical companies and all the pharmacies in the entire world.
What? After
70 years, but still, this 70 is a long time. Okay, they're not going to live to see it. So I always have the impression that they're depressed as can possibly be. Everyone is by a shrink. Everyone's under medication. The pharmacies can't keep up with the demand for all the different medications that they need. And yet it says no. It says, see, the Churban happened, everyone is dead, and the few survivors, they're very optimistic. Don't worry. Isn't that amazing insight? You know, it shows the resilience of Klal Yisrael. We're going to be okay. Problem was, they're not doing tshuva. They're going to be okay. Koichi v'yoytzem yadi. That's what the problem was. Achilu yomru af im anu misay misbar haloi Avraham hoye echad. He was only one person. V'yar shakol, and he inherited the entire land. So therefore, certainly will be successful.
What does that mean? Inherit the entire land.
It means his descendants. He started out. It doesn't mean immediately. It means ultimately everything fell into place. Hashem promised him the land. At that point in time, he was just one person. Yet
he had an entourage. He had an army.
He didn't have a real. He had just Lot. Eliezer. He had just one person. He had 300. What did it say? 318 people. He had 318 people. That was his whole army. And who were they? Were they even Jews? Were they mercenaries? Were they just tagalongs? Okay, Nebuch, who came along and followed along with him. You know, people that sat by his table. They went with him. I don't know, but it wasn't very significant. And yet, look what happened over the next few hundred years. He turned into a nation of 600,000 people who came into Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yahushua, and they conquered the whole land. So therefore, just give it some time. Give it some time. Everything will be okay. So Hashem says, you're foolish. You think you're going to continue down this path. Pasuk Chafhei, Al Hadom Techelu. Zehu min avoidas kechavim. So here in the Mitzudos, we're going to see the Medrash, but in the meantime, the Mitzudos says, you eat blood. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean, this is a code, an expression, a metaphor for worshipping idols. You ever see that? I never saw that before anywhere. Zehu min avoidas kechavim, shahoyu zevchem lashedim. They ate, they sacrificed to the demons. V'achlu sevivos hadam b'samuch la, and they ate sevivos hadam b'samuch la. I don't know what that means. V'amu shashedim ochlem hadam v'heim abasa, and they would say.
It doesn't actually say that they eat blood. It says al
hadam, yeah. In the vicinity of the blood, and they said that the demons, the shedim, they are drinking the blood, and we eat the basar, some form of idolatry. As if they're sitting b'shulchan echad b'schabus v'ahava rabba, they're all sitting around one happy meal. The Torah is your love, k'mo sha'a nemar loisoichlu al hadam. Okay, so the Mitzudos presents a very novel interpretation of what it means in the pasuk loisoichlu al hadam. It does not mean aver min hachai as we assume it means. And in fact, as I'll show you in the Gemara in a few moments, that's what it means there. He has a very novel translation. Leisoichlu al hadam means avodah zarah. As Rav Michal pointed out, it says al, does not say s, and therefore it means don't sacrifice an animal to a shade and eat the meat and say to yourself that the shade, the demon, is drinking the blood. Ve'einechem Tisu, poinim atem el gilul eichem. You go and you lift up your eyes to the abominations, la of them to serve them, avoidas elo el loyuchus, to worship the gods. Vedom tishbaychu shefachtem domnaki. This means murder. Okay, this means murder. The aretz tirashu bitmia. Do you really think you're going to have the land? V'chi ba'asos masim chayli tirashu asaros. Do you really think you're going to possess the land? V'chi toiv matem oisim shemesu v'nishbu. Are you better than people who died? Are you the survivors who are going to continue to go down this evil path? Are you going to be better than the people who died? Umalachem lidamos el Avram, how dare you compare yourself to Avraham Avinu? How dare you? Okay, this is something, you know, you find them by people who are very secular, people who have no appreciation of the Kedusha and the legacy of Klal Yisrael. You see this by Goyim. They go and they analyze what it says in Tanakh, and they view the Isha Tanakh like the, you know, the next door neighbor. They look at David HaMelech. They look at David Mamish Ki'ilu. David HaMelech is living next door in the basement. Like, I'm the Baal HaBayis. I have a tenant who lives in the basement, the poor schlep. He can't even pay the rent on time. So I look at him like he's like David HaMelech, and I can super analyze and tell you all of his mistakes and all of his failings. Dysfunctional. Like if I was living in that time, I would have been. That is how people in the secular world, they look at the Ishe HaTanach. Among us, Hashkafa, we don't even come to the spirituality, the exalted level of Chochma, brilliance, and Yirah Shamayim, and every dimension of a person's being is not even within the realm of something that we can even come near. And there's an awe when you look and you describe such people. Even the Rishonim, some people, they quote Rashi, and in a very disrespectful way, they just dismiss, Rashi made a mistake, he didn't understand Pshat, I'll tell you the real Pshat. That's horrible, that's apikorsis. There's Drush, there's Ayin Panam L'Torah, there's Drush, but Rashi is the foundation. Rashi is the foundation. You have a machshava, okay, you have a machshava. But doesn't take the chas v'sham to dismiss the exaltedness of these people. Also, over here is exactly what they're doing. And over here, these people are comparing themselves to Avram Avinu. They're saying, listen, Avram was one man. Look, and so we're many. Are you out of your mind? Do you know who Avram was? Avram, the whole story of Avram, you're comparing yourself to Avram, you're Evdev Odezara, you're Shvich Astamim, Isaac in Mishkav Zohar, and the Gilead Arias, and you're comparing yourself to Avram. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? That's exactly what they're saying over Hashem. That's what the Navi is telling these people.
So they didn't realize the Musaf in Yirmiyahu didn't affect them at all. They still thought it was a natural effect.
Yeah, that's right. It didn't. They did not take him seriously, Yirmiyahu. That's why we find in Yirmiyahu, and we find here as well, is Hashem has to tell the Navi, I know what you're thinking. It's a waste of time. I should go tell them, Navi, they look at me like I'm from Mars. Hashem says, doesn't matter, I'm giving you a job, tell it to them. I know they're not going to listen, you know they're not going to listen, but you don't understand, this is what I want you to do. They did beat him up. Yeah, exactly. Yirmiyahu was tortured, he came lost, he came near death multiple times. They plucked out his beard, they pulled the whiskers out of his beard, they put him in a dungeon. Any event, this is the lesson here of the Mitzudo Stav. Pasuk Chavav, Amatem al Charbechem, B'choleis, Amatem Chagurim, B'charbechem liyois nechoinim laharag nefashais. You walk around the Wild West. You walk around with your pistol attached to your and this holster, waiting to kill someone. Asisem to Eva. Mishkaf Isser. He doesn't say Mishkaf Zoch, he says over here just Mishkaf Isser. Timei Sem, B'mishkaf Aznus. Okay, Rashi says especially Mishkaf Zoch, okay. B'mishkaf Aznus. The next one is the Mitzudo Sar, Pasuk of Zayin, Imlo. Hashem says, David, go tell these people that I swear they're all going to perish. Imlo, hu inyan shvua. Kemo Imlo kasher dibartem. Asher becheravos. Tell the people who are living in the ruins. Hayashvim be'arim hanecharavos. Od, yiblu vachet, they're going to die. They're also going to die. The people who are in the suburbs, Yiblu, Shama, they'll die there. V'chayas Asada, Toichleim, will be eaten by animals. V'hanistrin, the people that are in the bunkers, in the five-star bunkers, Bamitzodos, in the fortresses, Uvama'oros, in the caves, Yamusu, Badever, they're going to die through a plague. So therefore, and what's going to be of the land? Shemama, Kilo, Yish, Sho'er, Mi, Mehen, will be no survivors. V'nishbas, Yivutal, Hago'in, V'hagaiva, Shoho'yulom, Me'esan, Ha'takva. The pride, the glory of the glamorous days of old are going to be gone, and the land will be B'yoshe, Batal. No one will, a living creature will not walk through the land. Me'ein, Oiver, Me'bli, Yimasi, Shami, Oiver. Okay, so this, and then you'll know, Pasuk Chav Tesis, which is always the end of every Nevuah, Ki Ani Hashem, Hanemon l'shalem gimul. That's always the bottom line, and that's what you say. That's what you say. The bracha of tzidik hadin and the haftarah. This is amazing. Every Shabbos, we come back to this pasuk, to this theme, which appears in Navi a million times. Yoldeh ki ani Hashem hanemon l'shalem gimul. After we read the haftarah, which are the words of the Navi, we make the bracha Hatsur Kol Ha'olamim Tzadik B'chol Hadaros Ha'kel Ha'neman Ha'oimeh Ve'oisa Ha'medaber Mekayim Shekol Devarav Emes V'Tzedek. Why do we make that bracha? Because it's exactly what the purpose of Nevuah is. When the Nevuah comes true, it's right, the Navi was right. And we make mamish a bracha on this concept every single Shabbos when you finish hearing the words of the Navi when we read the Haftorah, the first bracha. Like we said before, it's the bracha of Tzidik Hadin, bracha of Tzur Kol Halamim Tzadik B'chol Hadarois. And I told you before, very interesting, that the old minhag was, we don't do this, we should go back and do this again today. The old minhag was that when you come to that part of the bracha, everyone together says in unison, Hakel Hanemon Ha'oimer Ve'oisa Hamadab Mekayim Shekol Devarav Emes V'Tzedek. Nemon Hu Hashem Lokein. That expression in between the beginning of the bracha and the bracha was said by the tzibur together in unison, similar to the minog that some have by Sheva Brachas, the last bracha. Baruchat Hashem Lokein Melech Olam. So the one who gets the last bracha stops, and everyone begins to sing. Everyone sings that together, and the one who makes the bracha waits, and then after everyone finishes singing it together, then he says, Ashabara, that same exact style that has become accustomed by us, by Sheva Brachas, was the style the first bracha of the Haftarah was recited on Shabbos. You start off, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Tzur Kol Ha'olamim, Tzadik B'chol Hadoros. Pause. And now the Tzibur begins to chant the remainder of the bracha together to bring out the point. It's right. The Divrei Nevi'im are Emes, Neman Hu Hashem, Hashem is Neman L'Shalem Gimul. The Tzibur participates in this bracha, and then the one who got the bracha, he goes and he actually says, it's unbelievable, beautiful minhag. Such a beautiful minhag. What has happened to us? Why has that minhag become bottle? I don't know. What? You know what the answer is? Because we don't want to know what the Navi says. That's the answer. We're not interested in hearing all the gloom and doom of shaping up. We much rather go to the Kiddush Club than listen to the words of the Navi. That's the answer. Okay, now we come to, that ends the Mitzudos David. Let's now go back to some of the Rashis, starting again with Pasuk Chaf, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Let's see where we can find the Rashi. There is no Rashi, Chav Dalet. Okay, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Chav Hey. Now, this Rashi is very Makatza. I'm going to read you the entire Gemara in a few moments. But in the meantime, Rashi says, Echad Hoya Avraham. The people here made this foolish comparison by comparing themselves to Avraham, by noting he was only one man. Ze Echad Me'arba'o Devarim Shehoya Rabbi Kiva Doresh Ve'ein Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Talmidoi Doresh Kimoisoi. Rashbi was the Talmud of his Rabbi Kiva, and the Talmud is coming to disagree. Hayitachin, a Talmud disagrees with the Rebbe? Can there possibly be? I don't know. That's what it says over here. There are four things where Rashbi and Rabbi Akiva did not see eye to eye.
Rebbe cannot disagree with Talmud.
A Talmud cannot disagree with the Rebbe?
Why not? Halacha.
Maybe it was Talmud Chaver.
Talmud Chaver, or it comes at a certain point in time where Talmud in a Chanami is a different dar. It's a different kufa, and there are different things which change the equation. There are new variables. And therefore, it has to be re-understood. In Achlamis, obviously, this requires, this is the topic of the evolution of halacha. Okay, psak halacha, it's a very controversial topic, and this is probably a very good source. Okay, this is a very nice source. Well, this is doresh, it's a drush. it's not a halachic matter. Not necessarily because Yishnayim, by us, we differentiate between drush and halacha. But some in the early kadmonim, a lot of things that are drush sometimes have halachic
implications.
Halachic implications. Okay, so this is way beyond me, but everyone listening to the words of Rashi, so this one, the four things that we keep dashing, we shouldn't tell me the dash is differently. The Rashi only presents the Talmud. Rashi does not even tell us what Rabbi Akiva says. I'll tell you that later. Avraham shle nitztava el al mitzvah achas. Only had one mitzvah. What's the one mitzvah? Bris milah. That's how the Mefarshim explain this. Bris milah. That's what Pash, that's what it means, but that's what we'll learn now. Bris milah. And the merit of bris milah, yorash es haaretz. Bris milah, there are 13 brisos. 13 times in the Torah does it say the word bris, in reference to bris milah, and 13, there were 13 covenants established between Hashem and Klal Yisrael and the Avos in reference to Eretz Yisrael. So bris milah and Eretz Yisrael are intertwined. Okay, that's mamish, they go hand in hand. And that's, by the way, that's one of the reasons why the Shla, famous Shla, the Shla says, why can't we get rid of those Arabs? Why do they make so much trouble for us? Why can't we just have siyata d'shmaya and get them out of the land? It's our land. Kilo yirash im bini im yitzchak. What are they doing there? So the Shlosh says, you know why? Because they have bris milah. They have bris milah. And bris milah is the bread and butter of Eretz Yisrael. So even though they have no right to be there, kilo yirash im bini im yitzchak, they have no right, and the day will come when they will relinquish whatever their attempt to take possession. In the meantime, the fact that they have bris milah, it gives them power. It gives them power to have shlita, to have control over the land. Because they're yud gimel brisois in Eretz Yisrael, and they're yud gimel brisois in bris milah. It's totally zeh b'zeh, and they have something, they have a koyach. So us, we're living now. So he learns over here that the Rashi puts it on a positive twist. I kept telling you in the Hagdamah, we're learning over here, it's negative. Rashi says the people were very religious. They say we do mitzvahs, we have tayag mitzvahs. Avram only had one mitzvah. That one mitzvah, he got Eretz. We have tayag mitzvahs, so we do all the mitzvahs. So certainly in the merit of the mitzvahs, we're going to possess the land. And we certainly were going to possess the land. The Navi says, what are you out of your mind? You hypocrites. That's right. You do Tayag Mitzos, and you also do Tayag Averos. Well, not exactly. But if you just did the Mitzos, you're right. But you're doing the mitzvos and you're doing the averos. Avram didn't do any averos. You do a lot of averos, therefore your analysis comparison is invalid. Al hadam, next words of Rashi, hadam toichlu the aretz tirashu bitmia. What are you kidding over here? You're going to commit murder.
What is Rabbi Akiva? You're
going
to go back.
I'll go to Rabbi Akiva in a moment. And you think you're going to possess the land bitmia im nitztavisem. Even though you were commanded, just because you're bragging that you were commanded 613 mitzvahs, whereas Avraham was only commanded one mitzvah. Oh, very good, you were commanded. That's not what counts. What counts is observance, not the fact that you were commanded. Al Adam Techelu es Ma'achle, so he learns not like the mitzudois, that this refers to Avodah Zarah, and he doesn't even learn like Pashup Shan Chumish. Eiver min hachai, not discuss Eiver min hachai according to Rashi. It means you steal. You live in the, you go to on vacation to hotels. Es ma'achle tafnukim. You eat delicious food. You mafunakim, delicacies. The delicacies. I know someone who went to a 5-star hotel for Pesach. He was describing to me the food. He says, you cannot imagine what was going on there. The food, the delicacies that are going on over there. How do you pay for it? How do you pay for your delicacies? Murder, extortion, gezel, cheating on your taxes. You know how you pay for it? So al hadam toichelu, you eat them the delicacies through killing people and stealing their money, so you have the money to pay for these delicacies. Amaltem al charbechem, kolaymar kol bitchoinchem nischazaktem al charbechem. So here he has Rashi also a very novel interpretation. Drush is that you firmly believe koychi v'yitzem yodi osli sachayel azeh. You believe that your security is based upon your weapons. We have the best state of the art weapons in the region. Okay, we're always one notch ahead of all of our neighbors. That is what is going to guarantee our safety and security. Asisem to'eva, Rashi does not mince words, mishkav zochur. Rashi says, the worst type of avera, you do all of these things, and you asher, and you really think you're gonna survive here. Asher b'charavos, next was Rashi, asher b'arim b'atzabsuos, the fortified cities, shesoifon lios charevos, so when it says charevos means ala osit, it means right now you're living in, you found yourself some refuge in the land. You made for yourself some fortifications, but ultimately this will turn into a churba. V'asher b'mitzados b'machaveh lihitameh min ha'cherev, those that are living in the bunkers and the fortresses, ashalach b'm es hadever, you're not safe there either. I'm going to send a disease into these bunkers and you're going to die there as well. Okay, so Rashi, he elaborates much more on the specific type of averos. Now listen to Radak. Going back to Pasuk Chaf Gimel, there is none, Chaf Dalid. The Radak says, Ben Adam, Yoishvei Hecharav Yisraela, Ki B'malchus Tzidkiyo Roiv Eretz Shol Chay Sachareva. Okay, the reason why we're calling Yoishvei Hecharav is because at this point in time the land is desolate after the exile of Sancheriv, and after the exile of Yehoyakim and the exile of Yehoyachin, we're down now to the very, very end. So Eretz Yisrael is just a skeleton of what it used to be. So we're calling it Hacharevos. Echad hoya Avraham v'yirash haaretz. Amru hinei. Avraham avinu lo hoya le'echad. He was only one man. Yet v'yirashu es haaretz ki nisano lo. It was given to Hakel Yisbrach b'Yerusha. Kmo she'amar, like it says in the pasuk, lo ses luchas haaretz ha'azos l'rishto v'amar b'ma ida ki rishena. Avram asked when what sechus v'hu shohoy echad. He was only one person. Yirash es haaretz. He was only one man, yet his descendants possessed the land. The afal pisha hoya dailo b'mokim echad min haaretz. Even though it was enough for him, b'mokim echad, he did not need the whole land. He only needed a small little section. Now, Radak over here is eating a little more into more, a little more. He's embellishing the whole psukim. Is that Avram was one man? He only needed a little, you know, a little street corner, basement apartment. He was very, very happy. And yet, look what happened. His descendants took over the whole place, the whole region. They took over. So v'anachnu sh'anu rabim, we're many. Kol shekein shiru yilon haaretz liyusha. Period. Now here he elaborates. Here's the Gemara. Okay, so here we have a very good Gemara. He tells you the Gemara in more detail. So here we are, Rabbi Akiva. This is what Rashi did not want to tell us. Rashi only wanted to tell us what the Talmud at Rashi said. Rashi here says, Radak says, Rabbi Akiva, Omer kach amru umo Avraham shelo avad elo elo ka echot. Avraham only worshipped one God. Which God? Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem, the only God. And yet, Yorash Es Haaretz, we have diversified our portfolio. We're not willing to put all our eggs in one basket. We have all the gods. Eretz Yisrael is a land of tolerance of all the gods.
Diversity.
Anachnu She'anu Oivdim Elohos Harbe. We have so many gods here in the land. So therefore, certainly someone will come through for us. Someone's going to help us out. Al achas kama v'kama shenirash es haaretz. Okay, so this is what Rashi. Now I think you understand why Rashi didn't even want to say this. Okay, Rashi was so embarrassed of this interpretation. Rashi says, "You know, let me just tell you what Rashi says. Let me forget about what Rabbi Akiva says." Rabbi Shimon Yechoyoy Mer Umo Avraham Shaloi Nitzdava. So here it's a little more positive twist. Avraham, there's only one God. Let's not go into Avodah Zarah. Only one God. He only was commanded al Ela Mitzvah Yechidis, which mitzvah? Bris Milo. Yorash Es Haaretz. Anachnu Shenitztavin. We've been commanded Kama Mitzvahs Einadin Shenirash Es Haaretz. Umo Hanavi Mirshim. What is his answer? Al Adam Techelu? Varetz Yerashu? What? It depends upon the commandments. It depends upon the observance, not the commandments. If you're not observant, who cares what you've been commanded? Limay Rasha, Lias Lan Liush, therefore they claim to themselves they're going to possess the land. Kilo Nidna La Avram Ella Shatiya Lanu Limay Rasha. The only reason why it was given to Avraham was that we should ultimately possess the land, so therefore we're certainly we're going to get it. Now he goes into all the details. Lachin Aladam Techelu, Vanit Sivisilchem Loisech Aladam, Kihihi Avoidas Avoidazara, Shahai Sachoik Min Hazaifchem Lashadim Shaychlem Sav Adam Acha Shazav Hulohem. So the Radak says exactly what it says in the Mitzudos, but he goes a step further. Because the Mitzudos did not tie this idea, what it says here in Yecheskel, to what it says in the Pasuk in Chumash. Because according to the Pashup Shah in the Chumash, when it says Lesoichlu al Hadam, it means Eiver Min Hachai. The Radak is going so far and he's saying, no, even Chumash, where it says Lesoichlu al Hadon, it doesn't mean Eiver Min Hachai. It means Avodah Zara. And he says, what's the proof? Look at the context. The context is Lo Se Nachashu Veloy Se Oinenu. And that refers to a form of Avodah Zara. So therefore, when it says Lesoichlu al Hadon, it also refers to Avodah Zara. Yeah.
Could it be really to eat blood? There's one of the, forget Eiver Min Hachai.
No one wants to say that. Very good. We'll just stop talking about the halacha. Now let it drink blood.
It means
they eat the meat around the blood. They let the blood spill on the ground. So the Mitzvah explained. They slaughter the animal and they spill the blood on the ground,
right.
And everyone sits in a circle around the blood. They sit in a circle and they pass around the meat of the animal, and they eat it. And they say this in the middle. The demons are invisible.
So
the
it's
an Avodah Zarah. Exactly. So the Mitzvah says that's what Radak says.
They have a desire to eat the.
They're sacrificing the animal in honor of the shade, this demon, and then they take, and the blood is a gift to the demon, and we eat the meat, and that's the ceremony. The ceremony is to sit around the blood. We eat the meat, and the blood goes to the god. So eating the meat and sacrificing the animal for this animal is avodah zarah mamash. It's the real deal, and that's how we learn pshat in the pasuk le'soichlu. Don't eat the meat al hadam in the vicinity of the blood that has been offered in honor of the shade. We always learn.
In the Sheva Mitzvah, they know there's one that's called Birchas Hashem.
Yes, okay, that's not listed here.
Right, but it is listed here.
What's where?
Because the second one, Einechem Tishul Gilulim Zarei Lazara.
Yeah.
But when you're sitting down and you're making a ceremony.
Yeah.
So you're cursing the.
That's Ki'ilu Birchas Hashem. Okay, maybe. The Medrash doesn't say that. Okay, I'm going to read the Medrash in a moment, because the Medrash clearly learns these are the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. The problem, though, is the Medrash doesn't list them all. It lists a few, and when it says Le'soichlu al Adam, that's Eiver Min Hachai, indeed, like the Pashup Shad and Pasuk. But Birchas Hashem, somehow the Medrash just leaves out. So you want to say... It's not okay. Okay, let's finish up over here.
So the affair of Eiver Min Hachai has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. This time no, they're combining it.
No. Eiver Min Hachai has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. Animal cruelty.
Yeah, but in this case, they're combining it. They're doing Eiver Min Hachai as part of
it. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. They slaughter the animal. The animal's dead. The animal is dead, so it's not Eiver Min Hachai. They slaughter the animal, and they let it bleed out. And then they first begin to eat the meat. Okay, so Enechadam, these are all different. Okay, whatever it is. The point over here is that Klal Yisrael, they're engaged in terrible averos. Avodah Zarah, Gilarayah, Shvichastamim, there's no Mishpat. However you want, Mishkav Zoch, however you want to translate the Pasukim, it's no good. It's no good all around. That's the common denominator, and therefore that's what the Navi says. You guys, you're out of your mind here. You're comparing yourself to Avram Avinu. And you think you're better than him? You're out of your mind. You're doing these terrible averos, and you think you're going to survive over here? Next words: Ve'enichem tisu el gilu lechem. You lift up your eyes to abominations. Shatem poinim alehem tamid la'ovdom to serve them. Ulishach v'aslam to bow down to them. Rafi l'lachabil lechem asati. You bow down even to look. You're not allowed to look at the Avodah Zarah. Shem is the basic. Al tifnu, do not turn el holilim. The Adam Tishpachu, right? Salam Adam Nafi, you kill innocent blood, you murder. The Aritz Tirashu Bitmiya. Are you out of your minds? You think you're going to continue down this path and you can inherit the land? The Eich Tirshu Es Aritz, Vesasu Elaham Asim Shayim Teva Aritz. So the Radak, it's not natural for the land to tolerate such a behavior. Commercial Kasavok Elohe Necha Aritz. The Aknanim Yatsu Mimenu Mibnechem. The reason why the Kananim were driven out of the land was because they engaged in this activity. Don't behave this way so that the land does not vomit you out. The same way, kasher ko'ah, it vomited out as agoy asher lifnechem, the nation that was before you. The eich tirshu atem es aretz. What do you think you can doing over here? V'atem oisim ha'atayimus sh'asu anshe ha'aretz os ha'ilav sh'ayu lifnechem. How do you think you're going to possess this land if you do as averos? Pasich avav, amatem al charbechem, lishbech damnaki. So it's not like Rashi, he learns over here, is that you stand by your sword to murder. V'yonis interrogam, is atad tun al tukvechem. I think it means like more like Rashi is that you have confidence in your might. You have confidence that your destiny depends upon koichi v'oitzem yadi, on your state of the art weapons. Asisem to eva benun v'makom mem. Okay, this asisen instead of asisem. Oy omer asisen kineged hanikevos or asisen. We're shifting and we're discussing the women. The women, you know, said you're not righteous either. Don't go hard behind your husbands and say, I didn't do anything wrong. The women also, over here, according to this interpretation, the Navi is addressing that the Nashim are wicked, they're partners in the crime. Pasuk of Zayin.
Makes sense also, unlike Rashi.
What Rashi did not just spoke, Asisen o to'eva. You're right, okay. Ashi says Mishkav Zachar, okay. Over here he just says, okay, the Nikevas. The Nikevas have done abomination, not Mishkav Zachar, means they're guilty of Arayos, of also adultery. Eishes Re'eu is Gezel, that's a form of Gezel. Okay, in a Hanami. Mal Yichaval B'moinoi, that's yesterday's daf. Mal Yichaval B'moinoi, Mal Yichaval B'gufoi. Right, that's the first daf in Masechta Sanhedrin. Okay, let's go now to the next words. Koi samar imloy loshen shavua, kamo imloy kasher dimisi v'adayim lochem kamo shepirashnu b'mitzulos migdolim chazokim in fortresses v'nasati mivorhu mivorhu. Okay, so we finished our daf. We're running out of time. Let me just tell you what it says in the med. This med really spoke everything outside. Let me just give you the medrash in a little more detail because we discussed Shemes Bnei Noach. This is a toisefta in Masechta Soita. And a sifrei in Devarim, it basically says the same thing. Let me just read you the words. You do not have this. I'm just reading this to you from my edition. V'haloi Devarim kal v'choymer. The people said as follows: Umo Avraham shlo avanes eloka echa. This is Rabbi Akiva. One God. Okay, he is Yerush the land. So we have many gods. So certainly. Okay. Then we have Rabbi Nechemia. Umo Avraham, the Gemara presents more interpretations of what it means. Echod Hoya Avraham. Rabbi Nechemia says, Umo Avraham Shol Hoya Lo Ella Ben Echod. He only had one child, Vikrivoy, and he was willing to sacrifice his child to Hashem. Yet, Yorash Esaretz, Onu, now I don't really know what this means. Shebonenu uvinoisenu makrivin la'avodas koychavim. Does that mean that we offer all of our children to our gods? Or I don't really know. It's really a continuation of Rabbi Akiva. Einay din shenirash esaretz. But the point over here is the word echod. What is echod? According to Rabbi Akiva, it means one God. According to Rabbi Nechemia, it means he had only one child. One child, which he dedicated for the service of God. We have many children who are dedicated to the service of many gods. Okay, according to Rabbi Akiva, Echad means one God, and we have many gods. Again, according to Rabbi Nechemia, Avraham had one child, and we have many children. And if we have many children, so therefore we can spread them out. We won't put all our eggs in one basket, we'll have them, each child will send to a different or religion. What?
What's
the same idea.
So what's the...
Just a question of the precise translation of Echad. Nechemiah is the same idea as just a question of what is the precise translation. According to Rabbi Akiva, the word Echad means Avraham had one God.
No, I understand.
We have many. Nechemiah says Avraham had one child.
I understand, but the
seriousness of Rabbi Akiva's statement is that very damaging. One God, many gods. That's a no-no.
It's just as bad according to Rabbi Nechemia, because the purpose of having children is to educate them in the service of a God. So Avraham only had one God, so he was limited in which school he can send his children. So he sent one child to the Jewish school. But we have 10 children. So we send one child to the Jewish school, one child to the Catholic school, one child to the Muslim school, one child to the Buddhist school, and one child to a Chves. I don't know, find some more religions. So therefore we spread ourselves out. Maybe one of our children will give us nachas. They will be able to. This is what they said. So this is mamish. This is terrible, terrible what is going on over here. Another, we're almost finished. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef Yosef Lili, Oymer Maavram Shlohoyelo below Bimi Lidlois. He did not have Zechus Ovois. Echad, meaning he only had himself. Avram was all alone. He didn't have Zechus Ovois. Who is the Zayde? Who is the Tata? Terach. Who is Terach's father? Do we know? Is there a Gemara somewhere who says Terach's father is? I don't know. Is there a Gemara? We have Avram's mother. Avram's mother. What? Nachor?
Yeah.
Nachor Avi.
That the same name as Abraham's brother.
Brother? Okay,
he
Nachor.
Named him after his father.
What was he like?
I don't know. If this mentions anything.
Okay.
You knew him well.
But whatever it is, Abraham was all alone. He did not have. We are many, meaning we have Zuchus Avos. We have a whole crew. We have a whole team. In the Olam HaEmes, they're advocating on our behalf. Yorash Eskei, we have many. Another example. Then we have Rashbi. Rashbi says one mitzvah. That's the most positive of them all. And we have many mitzvahs. And here is the answer. The answer over here is, this is the part that I want to read to you. So Hashem says back, one mitzvah. No, this is really Rashbi. Yarash Aretz, Anu Shin Stadinu al mitzvos Eina Din Shin Yarash Aretz. Teda, what's the answer? The answer Yechezkel says is that not only are you in violation of the Taryag mitzvos, you are in violation of the Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. Even the fundamentals you're guilty of. How dare you go see? Avram was only one mitzvah. We have Taryag mitzvos. It depends on commandments. It depends on observance. And as far as observance is concerned, you're subhuman because you don't even observe the Sheva mitzvos. Where do we find the Sheva mitzvos? So this is the Gemara. Okay, v'chul al dam techelu. So here's the medrash. Ze ever menachai. Ve'einechem tisra lagilulim ze avoidas kechavim. V'dam teshpoichu zo shvichas damim. Amatem al charbechem. Ah, so here is important. This is the difference. You stand by your sword. Zo inui din v'gezel. Okay, that it's the Wild West. There's no dinim. One of the Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach are dinim. Dinim. You have to have a court system in place. Has to be mishpat. So he in the Medrash interprets the Amat Mal Chabachem refers to dinim ze'inu din v'gezel. As he sent to Eva. Now he does not say this is one of the Zion mitzvahs here. The Medrash goes off the deep end here and says zo mishkav zocher. What does Mishkav Zohar have to do with the Zion mitzvahs? It's not one of the Zion mitzvahs. Is it included in Arayos? I don't know. Is it? L'chor it is. Is it? Mistam it is. I would imagine. The Ish es Eish es Re'u Timesem Zo Gili Erva. Now it does not mention here Birchas Hashem. It couldn't, but yet, and then they go, V'haloi Dvarim Kal V'chomer, Ma Sheva Mitzvah Shenitztavu Aleim B'nei Noach Lo Yasisen Lefonai, V'atem Oymim Nirash Es Oretz. V'royani Es, then Rabbi Rashbi says, my pshat is better than the pshat of Rabbi Akiva. Maybe what it says over here could be something very fascinating, is that this Tosefta has a different list of the Zion Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. We do not count Mishkav Zohar as something independent. Maybe in the opinion of this Tosefta, Mishkav Zohar is an independent chelik of the Zion mitzvah. So maybe he omits Birchas Hashem. What? No, Gezel is, or Gezel, no, there is Gedinim. The Gezel is Dinim.
Gezel is
separate? Okay, I don't know. It's very interesting, because this Tosafta does say the word Zayin Mitzvahs, and he seems to count them, and he counts Inui Hadin, which Gezel Inui Hadin, and he counts also Mishkav Zohar, so maybe, and he does not mention Birchos Hashem, that's not mentioned. So maybe in Achanami, this is a topic that requires further discussion, further analysis. It could very well be that there are different opinions as to exactly what are the Zion mitzvahs. I always thought that everyone agrees on the Zion mitzvahs. It turns out it's not so simple. It could be there's a different machloek is exactly how to define what are the Zion mitzvahs. Everyone agrees at least that the Zerg, the Rashi, Chastamim, Choridinim, you have Mishkav Zohar, you have Birchos Hashem, and Eivir Ben Achai. Could be maybe Eivir Ben Achai. That's also. So this is Kubilos. Okay, so we're pretty much finished. We're going to stop here. We're going to continue next time with Pasuk Lamed. Mm-hmm.